I'm Laura Murphy Oates, and this is The Full Story.
Do you think there will be a spill today?
I have no idea. I've been asked many times, and I have no idea.
On Monday, Australian politics once again found itself dealing with a leadership crisis. The National Party emerged from a meeting at Parliament House with a new leader. Barnaby Joyce, the federal member for the New South Wales seat of New England, and the man who once said,
"I just don't want the government anymore in my life. I'm sick of the government being in my life,"
has become Deputy Prime Minister for a second time. Today, why is Barnaby back? It's Wednesday, the 23rd of June. Where do we want to start? Hold on, let's have a look. I mean, Murph, there's a lot that's been going on with the Nats and in the coalition government this past week. Where can we start with this to understand exactly, you know, what's going on?
To understand the sort of, it feels a bit like a Wagnerian ring cycle, this whole thing. So let's sort of start at the beginning.
Catherine Murphy is the political editor at Guardian Australia.
In order to understand this, we have to go back to 2018, which is when Barnaby Joyce was in the job, when he was Deputy Prime Minister. Now, let's just say he encountered some problems. There was the problem with his citizenship.
And as I think Peter Dunn's outlined, they say that unwittingly or not, he's a New Zealand citizen.
Which resulted in a by-election where he had to recontest and hold his seat of New England. Then after that, the story surfaced that he was involved in a relationship with a then staffer of his.
You can't help but you fall in love with.
You can't. A woman by the name of Vicky Campion, who is now his partner.
Had the love gone out of your marriage?
No, I'm not going to go into that space.
His marriage broke up. He started a new life with Vicky Campion, but then there was also a complaint was registered against him with the National Party.
The Deputy Prime Minister, Barnaby Joyce, has been hit with an accusation of sexual harassment, which he's described as spurious and defamatory.
This was a sexual harassment claim that was lodged by a high-profile woman in the regions by the name of Catherine Marriott. Now, Joyce at the time and consistently subsequently has maintained that that allegation is defamatory and wrong.
It is not the truth. And, you know, it's probably the thing that's annoyed me the most. I watched it last night. I'm no better informed than I was at the start.
In terms of what the National Party did, it had an investigation to try and establish the facts. And basically that inquiry was unable to land on a conclusion. Those things together basically culminated in him removing himself from the National Party leadership.
Over the last half a month, there's been a litany of allegations. I don't believe any of them have been sustained. A litany of allegations.
And at the time, listeners will probably recall that Malcolm Turnbull, who was the PM, instituted what we called the bonk ban in Canberra.
Yes, the famous bonk ban.
And Barnaby took himself off to the backbench.
But it's quite evident that you can't go to the dispatch box while issues like that are surrounding.
So what happened after Joyce left?
So when Barnaby Joyce stepped back from the Nationals' leadership, Michael McCormack replaced him as the party leader.
Why McCormack? Tell me about him.
Well, I think the party at that point was in genuine disarray. It's hard to describe how tumultuous that time was leading up to Joyce's exit from the top job. And the period of Joyce's leadership was also a tumultuous time. When Barnaby Joyce took over as leader, he was like a small cult of personality. He was so present and forceful as a leader. And he basically divided internal opinion. Some people loved him, some people really didn't love him and the direction he was taking the Nationals in. So I think when McCormack came in, there was a hope that maybe there could be a period of regrouping, a bit of stability. McCormick's sort of like an avuncular regional bloke who used to be an editor of a regional newspaper. He's a sort of straightforward guy, but he's no Barnaby.
Mm.
And I think there was a hope that maybe everyone could just take a little minute to recover from all of that stress, I suppose, associated with the Joyce period.
And what has McCormack been like as a leader in this time?
Well, I think the problem for Michael McCormack was sort of there from the start. It's sort of like under the Joyce period that the Nationals sort of became semi-factionalised for the first time, certainly in my reporting history. And that's a much more difficult dynamic for a party leader to preside over, where there are distinct power blocks in your own organisation. So poor old McCormack was trying to calm everybody down, project a period of a bit more stability, but his own party room was riven. And Barnaby Joyce wasn't up the front anymore. He wasn't the leader, but he was still in the room. So I think McCormack felt, in order to prosper, in order to remain as Nationals leader, in a way he had to imitate Barnaby in a strange way. He sort of had to be Barnaby light.
What do you mean by that, Barnaby light?
Look, McCormack is as capable of saying, you know, silly things as the rest of us. But I think McCormack kind of revved up this kind of character who was sort of narrow casting to the base of the National Party. You know, he would say climate change doesn't exist, or climate change is a preoccupation of inner city elites. All of this sort of mildly Trump-esque language.
Do you stand by those comments that you made comparing the assault on the Capitol last week with the Black Lives Matter protest? Just how are they similar?
Well, any form of violence, any form of protest that ends in death and destruction is abhorred. And
I remember in particular his comments on Black Lives Matter being pretty shocking to hear.
Yeah.
They should know that those lives matter too. All lives matter.
Then we had another series of gaffes, and more attention was drawn to the gaffes over the last couple of weeks because Michael McCormack happened to be acting Prime Minister.
That's what he has done. Treasonous, I would call that. Absolute traitor to Australia.
Deputy Prime Minister has to withdraw that.
You know, Adam Bant's a traitor.
You have to withdraw that.
I withdraw that, but he should not. He should not write to Australia's...
I think it was sort of a character that he played, Michael McCormack. It's sort of like he had a predisposition to saying silly things, and then he oversized them in a way by trying to be Barnaby Light. And I don't think that was a great strategy for him because if you're Barnaby Light, you just tell the colleagues or increase the degree of nostalgia among colleagues that they want the real Barnaby back, not this Barnaby imitator.
Of course, in the past week, that has all come to a head. What has been going on behind the scenes with the Nats over the past week? Why did they decide to act now, as far as you know?
What happened over the past couple of weeks is that time was ticking on a couple of fronts. I think among people in the Nationals party room who felt that Michael McCormack was actually an electoral liability for them, a problem for them, I think people in the Nats party room who felt that way don't believe Scott Morrison when he says, I'm not going to go to and have an election until next year.
As he said many times.
As he said over and over. But I think they don't believe him. I think they think it's possible that the Prime Minister will call an election before the end of this year. And the importance of these weeks is that these are the final sitting weeks before the winter break. So it's kind of like, do it now or be damned. In terms of Joyce, Joyce has wanted to come back to the leadership ever since he lost it. I think Barnaby Joyce made a judgment that he had persuaded sufficient numbers of people to vote for him, so he felt as though he needed to go while he had the numbers, because up until now he hasn't had the numbers.
Okay, so the election is looming, the numbers are looking good. How did this actually play out? When did everyone first start hearing the words spill in the corridors?
Well, it was around, but it's sort of like, I confess, I just thought, oh, it's more of the same.
Yeah.
But then on Saturday of this past weekend, Phil Currie from the Financial Review wrote a story on Saturday saying that National Party sources believe Joyce has the numbers, could be a spill happening on Monday. Mm. So then I hit the phones on Saturday, and at that point the Nats weren't sure whether this was, or a number of people weren't sure whether this was a real thing or not.
Mm.
There are people in the party saying Joyce has the numbers, but we're not sure how the story ends. And I think a number of people in the National Party weren't sure how the story ended until it did.
So we arrive on Monday morning. What happens?
The Nationals party room was due to meet, I think it was 10 or 10.30 on Monday morning. Mm-hmm. A couple of people were out and about on breakfast television. Joyce himself, who was still playing down the prospect of there being a spill motion.
Discussions and decisions themselves.
So, Barnaby, if there's a spill today, if there is a spill today, will you put your hand up?
There's no prospect of a spill at this point in time. So
and also Michael McCormick, who was out prior, coming into the building, as you do, was stopped by an SBS reporter.
Are you expecting a spill today?
Who knows?
Who asked him, did he maintain the confidence of his colleagues? To which he replied, who knows? Who knows what the future holds?
Okay, sirrah, sirrah, whatever will be, will be. Future's not ours to see. I'm quoting Doris Day. Now we've got to go. See ya.
All the best.
What a response.
What a time.
So, Murph, what happened in that meeting of the Nats at 10.30?
Basically, Joyce had to have the numbers to spill the positions. Otherwise, you don't have the numbers as leaders. So he established the numbers to have a spill. I believe that Matt Canavan, who is a close confidant of Barnaby's, used to work for him when he was a minister before entering the parliament himself as a Queensland senator. He moved the motion and Joyce secured the required majority in order to be the National Party's leader. And Barnaby Joyce rises Lazarus style, and there he is, there he is.
Mm. What happened next? How did they announce this to the public?
Well, we rolled into some press conferences.
Well, good afternoon, one and all. And at the outset, I want to say that I respect the decision made by the National Party room today.
Michael McCormick fronted the media and was incredibly gracious, I think, in his remarks.
And I will go on supporting the coalition government, the Liberals and Nationals, to continue to serve this nation. We've been a good government since 2013. We have delivered for Australians.
And he said he would take a little minute to think about whether or not he remained in politics after the next federal election.
I'd like to say to my colleagues how humbled I am that the task going ahead, first and foremost, is to make ourselves a team that is formidable for the next election.
Then we had the trio in the courtyard after them, and by the trio I mean Barnaby Joyce, David Littleproud and Bridget McKenzie. Basically, you know, King is dead, here's the new one.
Can I just ask, what have you learned about being a leader since leaving it last time? How are you different?
Well, I acknowledge my faults and I resigned as I should, and I did.
Barnaby Joyce's pitch was, I'm a changed man. I've learnt stuff. Life has taught me stuff. I've gone to the backbench. I've thought about stuff. And I'm not the same guy I was when I was leader last time.
I've spent 3 years on the backbench, and I hope I come back a better person.
That's both an outward-facing pitch, like i.e. to the voters, but also an inward-facing pitch to the colleagues.
Mm.
It's sort of implicit in that is, I know some of you love me, I know some of you really, truly loathe me, but I'm going to try and be the leader the National Party needs me to be at this point in time.
Mm.
I don't walk away from the fact that you have to have time to consider not only the effect on yourself, but more importantly, the effect on others. I've done that. I don't want to dwell on the personal, except to say hopefully One learns from their mistakes and makes a better person of themselves.
What portfolios will you be hoping the Nationals...
Okay, so he comes out with his grand new pitch. What happens next?
Well, then we roll into question time.
Questions without notice, the Leader of the Opposition.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Well, my question is to the Prime Minister, and I ask, who is the Deputy Prime Minister of Australia?
Literally, it was Barnaby Joyce had to sprint from the courtyard to the chamber in order to be back in the chamber for question time because we'd hit 2 p.m. Bizarrely, because the Governor General was not in Canberra, Barnaby Joyce was the leader designate but could not be sworn in. So poor old Michael McCormack had to stagger through an entire question time, having been just stripped of his job by his colleagues, but he had to be in the parliament as the Deputy Prime Minister answering questions. And he was much more visible than usual because Scott Morrison, who has been in Europe last week, is currently quarantining in the lodge.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The member for Riverina is currently the Deputy Prime Minister of Australia. As you're aware,
So poor old Michael McCormack, who had just literally been thrown out of a job by the colleagues, had to stagger through a whole session still being the Deputy Prime Minister.
The Deputy Prime Minister has the call.
The Nationals took a decision today to have a party room vote, as is the conventions of any political party indeed. And the opposition leader mentions the leadership changes in the Liberal Nationals government.
Next, the backlash to Barnaby's return and the political logic behind it all. Now, Murph, just to step back a tiny bit, to me, this does seem like a bit of a bizarre game of musical chairs, going from Joyce McCormack to Joyce in the space of 3 years, basically. I mean, what is your reaction to all this? Did you ever expect to see Barnaby Joyce back in this position?
Look, I've known Barnaby Joyce for a very long time. I've known him since we were young people in regional New South Wales together. He is a very dogged and determined person. When he gets something, when he gets a fixation in his head, but I thought that those divisions that we've talked about in the National Party room would probably keep him out of a job, Laura.
What was the overall reaction to Joyce returning to power?
Well, it's just sort of one of those chaotic days where the Australian political system returns to the mean again, and by that I mean returns to the sort of destructive regicidal habits of the pre-pandemic years. It's kind of like, oh God, you know, we're all feeling a bit bored. Let's knock off a leader for kicks. You know, it's sort of like that's how it presented. Obviously, it's much more complicated than that. But to all the world, I'm very confident that's how it looked.
Barnaby Joyce is a failed former Deputy Prime Minister.
That sort of sense of the return of chaos was picked up very sharply by the opposition.
He failed last time he had the job. We know how this movie ends because we've seen it.
What have been the other significant reactions to Joyce's return to power?
There's been two really interesting external voices. One is women, call them regional women, people who are active in the farm sector and beyond, who are... Not to put too fine a point on it, absolutely horrified that this guy is back as leader of the National Party. The commentary from a number of regional women has been, well, you know, does the National Party not want the votes of women in Australia? Like, why is this guy back? Why are there no consequences?
The West Australian National Party don't have a vote in the party room. And so our position back at the time, and you would recall it, there was significant questions around behaviour, matters in the media that were being raised. He was unable to go to the dispatch box as the Deputy Prime Minister or a Minister and answer any question. There was simply no possibility of him.
And that was the West Australian Nationals leader, Mia Davies, responding to Barnaby Joyce being appointed the federal party leader.
We also had some commentary from inside the National Party expressing concerns as well. A couple of MPs prior to the leadership ballot happening represented, I suppose, the views of many women. Like, is this a good idea that Barnaby Joyce is restored as Nationals leader? Because there are a lot of women out and about in our communities who might have significant problems with that.
In the meantime, Anne Webster is the Federal Nationals MP for Mallee. Anne Webster, thank you for joining us this morning.
Oh, you're very welcome.
How do you think the women voters or members of the National Party would react to Barnaby Joyce being leader again?
Well, I think, you know, I've had people write to me about this, of course, and some would be very unimpressed. And again, their issues for Barnaby Joyce.
We also saw Kay Hull, who was a Nationals MP from the Howard era, who's now the president of the National Party. She popped up on ABC and Kay was very diplomatic in what she said.
Is this a good outcome for your party?
Well, it's the outcome that the party room has decided upon, Patricia.
She acknowledged that Barnaby Joyce was a very polarising figure.
Do you think there's any evidence that he's changed?
Well, I think he's Barnaby Joyce. And
what is that, though? That's a name.
Well,
what
he can polarise. He can be polarising, very polarising.
It was a sort of implicit reference to gender. Like, lots of blokes might like him, but a lot of women might look at him like, I'm not really sure about you.
You know, you can be a lover of Barnaby Joyce, or you can be, you know, a serious detractor of Barnaby Joyce. He's always been polarising. He's never been any different in that respect.
Then we have Michelle Landry, who's quite an important figure. She's in one of the Central Queensland seats. She told News.com that some women would be unhappy with Joyce returning as leader.
So Murphy mentioned that there were two important groups that had strong reactions to Barnaby's return. The first was women. What was the second?
The other quite interesting set of reactions, I think, has been from some farm groups, because the farming sector, certainly real farmers, actual people, and the groups that organise or represent their interests in Canberra are a long, long way down, or a lot further way down, the climate change transition path than the Nationals are in Canberra. And there's been this emerging split in terms of regional voices in Australia. The Nats have really dug in on climate action, very pro-coal, very pro-fossil fuels. We're not interested in this transition at all because this transition hurts our people.
Mr. Joyce, do you believe that Scott Morrison should be going to the Glasgow Climate Summit with a net zero by 2050 policy? Very simple.
Well, and surprisingly enough, I was expecting you to ask that, Probst, but now I will be guided by my party room. It's not Barnaby policy, it's Nationals policy. And Nationals policy is what I will be an advocate for. And if the National...
Meanwhile, we've seen this burgeoning movement out in the regions of farmers and other stakeholders who see climate action as an opportunity, both economic and environmental. So we've had farm groups also saying to the new leader, Barnaby Joyce, hey, mate, you might want to sort of stop Scott Morrison doing anything significant on climate policy, but how about you represent our interests? Because it's actually in our interests for this transition to happen. So there have been two very interesting reactions over the last couple of days.
So it sounds like, from what you've told me, Joyce is unpopular with quite a few female leaders in the Nationals and may also be unpopular amongst some female voters. Plus, there's a section of farmers who are concerned about his conservative stance on climate. Considering all this, why return Joyce to power? Was that politically wise?
Well, it's a $50 million question. It really is. Is this a wise decision? And as they say in the classics, only time will tell. But I think, so we've focused quite rightly on some of the critiques surrounding the return of Barnaby Joyce. To the extent that there is a strategy here about him returning to the leadership, there is a strong view that Barnaby Joyce will shore up the Nationals' base vote and also among swinging voters, people, let's call them people at risk of voting Labor because that's who they are, men in regional areas who are worried about change, who are concerned about societal changes, who are concerned about what climate change means for them materially, i.e. will I still have a job in the fossil fuels industry anymore if climate change happens, that there is a view in the National Party that they have no more effective narrow caster to that group of people than Barnaby Joyce, because Barnaby Joyce exemplifies them culturally. He exemplifies them in terms of who he is, how he communicates, how he expresses values. He establishes a very deep connection with blokes who are concerned about change.
So the Nats are betting on the votes of men and standing behind a man in their party, essentially.
Well, it's sort of like now we could get really deeply sort of into psychoanalysis here, Laura, about you know whether they're even conscious of making these choices. But I think, look, if I'm being very, very straight here, I think the upside of Barnaby talking to that cohort of men in the minds of some outweighs the downside of women being a bit off-put, alert or alarmed. I think we've had this phenomenon in Australia for many years that Peter Lewis, our Guardian Essential pollster, has written about, which is the sort of great white whale in politics, and by that he means soft coalition voting women, right? We always think those women will leave the Liberal and National parties over particular issues, over asylum seekers perhaps, over climate change perhaps, all of these issues. But when elections come around, the women continue to vote Liberal and National. Even if they just hold their nose. So if you're being really direct, I think that's the calculation that they've made.
When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me. Que sera, sera.
Thanks to Catherine Murphy for her time. Do check out her opinion piece on this issue, plus the reporting of Sarah Martin, our chief political correspondent, on how women have responded to Barnaby's return. We put links to those on the Full Story page. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Joe Koning, Miles Herbert and Ryan Pemberton. The executive producers of Full Story are Miles Martignoni, Gabrielle Jackson and myself, Laura Murphy Oates. If you liked this episode, don't forget to leave a rating or a review. Okay, catch you tomorrow.
Whatever will be, the future's not.